Good morning, and we're open for business again this morning at BizTalk. My name is Tony Bush, and the co-host this morning is Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. How are we doing today?
We're doing fine. Welcome to the program, and we've got a great sunny morning. Hope we have a big listening audience out there.
Absolutely, and a reminder, please, we're looking for call-ins. We've got a very good guest to talk to this morning.
Our guest this morning is Kurt Haling. Kurt Haling is one of the partners in Alberts & Haling CPAs, who is the sponsor of our program. So we're glad to have Kurt here this morning. We're going to be talking some tax strategy this morning, tax planning strategy, IRS considerations, and a number of other things. And as Randy just mentioned, we invite you to call in with any questions you might have about accounting practices. Kurt's the guy to help address those questions. And we'll be giving out Kurt's contact information as well. So if you don't have a chance to get to call in this morning, write down that contact information, and you can reach him next week. He'd be happy to take your call or an email next week. We'd like to also mention that this BizTalk program is here to sponsor or to support the SCORE chapter. This BizTalk program supports the local efforts of the local SCORE chapter.
Right.
The SCORE chapter is headquartered in a chamber building downtown Appleton. We have about 30 to 40 mentors or counselors who help business owners or those who would like to begin a business go through the process of starting or improving their business. It's all free. We serve an 8-county area from here down through Fond du Lac.
Right.
Randy, tell us a little bit about the SCORE chapter. Where can folks find out more about the chapter here in the Valley?
Okay, well, like you said, the SCORE chapter is here in the Fox Cities and also throughout the area in 8 different counties. To reach us, probably the easiest way to do it is to go to scorefoxcities.com. On that website, you'll find a link that says Request Counseling. And if you just go to that, it takes me about 10 minutes to fill out the information. And the most important part about that one is to say exactly what it is you're interested in.
Right.
So if you're looking for accounting help, if you're looking for marketing help, or you just want to start a business and haven't got an idea where you're at,
right,
and you need business planning, put that down. That way, as you said, we've got about 35 active mentors here in the Valley, another 20 down in Oshkosh, another 4 or 5 down in the Fond du Lac area. And what we can do is tie you together with that person, at least for a startup, to get the necessary things that you need.
And it's all free.
It's all free.
It's all professional.
It's all professional. In fact, we are now working with a special program for SCORE that our mentors are becoming what is called a certified SCORE mentor, which is about a 2-hour program that we're taking right now to bring us up to date on how to work with our clients and really help you get the answers you need quickly without going through a lot of process, but yet getting to where you need to be.
And I'd like to just add to that, Randy, that SCORE is the home of the 5 Simple Steps program.
That's correct.
Which is a program designed by SCORE, and it's available to all the SCORE chapters around the country. That helps those people who might be thinking of going into business. Is this something I want to do? What's it all about? It's 5 weeks, basically $100. We just concluded our first one several weeks ago, but the next one's coming up in January.
Right. We have that on schedule. We're going to be starting that particular program on January the 19th.
Okay.
That morning, 8:30 to 12:30.
A morning program.
Right. And that's the basics. It's an intro.
Yep.
It gives you an idea. Mindset, one that is really a good entrepreneur. What's it all about?
Are
what
all
do I need
5
to know?
Classes in the morning?
No. The remaining 4 then will be in the evenings.
Okay.
Those 4 are 3 hours each. But the intro, we do 4 hours. It's $25, and we throw in lunch. So you get a pretty good deal.
The 4 topics are?
The 4 topics include types of businesses, it includes marketing, it includes financial statements and understanding,
accounting,
and then also how to find funding, types and sources.
And thrown into that mix is how do you use your financial information to talk to a lender if you have to get a loan.
Right. Plus, we also have specialists come in who are experts in certain areas. For instance, social media. We have people who come in who are experts in SBA lending, things like that. So the whole program for $100 for all 5 is a really super bargain.
Yep. Okay. With that, we'd like to also thank our sponsors who help bring the show to you each weekend. Those sponsors, again, as I mentioned, include Alberts & Haling CPAs. Kurt Haling is a partner. He'll be with us right after the break. We'd also like to acknowledge and thank Associated Bank for sponsoring this program. They've done that for a number of years, and they've been a good, strong supporter of of SCORE.
Right.
And also Lakeview Credit Union, who has been a sponsor of BizTalk for a while. And we thank all of them for the support they give us. We also want to acknowledge and thank the Business News for promoting our radio program in their biweekly newspaper, the Business News, $20 for the year, good business news throughout
right.
the region. Every entrepreneur should have it.
Absolutely.
So with that, we're going to take a little break here. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll begin our discussion with Curt Haling this morning. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. And good morning and welcome back to BizTalk. Tony Bush here with Randy Melzer.
Good morning again, Tony.
And our guest this morning is Curt Haling from Alberts & Haling CPAs. We'd like to invite you to call in with any questions that you might have for Curt, any kind of accounting questions that relate to your business. And you don't need to be specific, but we can talk general principles and general formulas and so on. If you're in the Appleton area, you can call us at 281-1150, 281-1150. And if you're outside the Appleton area, the TDS Metricom toll-free line number is 1-866-887-1150. Good morning, Curt.
Morning, Tony. How you doing?
I'm fine. Glad to have you back on the program
Thanks.
Again.
Whenever Good you're to see you again, Curt.
Randy, how are you?
Doing
Whenever
fine.
You come back on the program, it's always very interesting because you bring news that help a lot of business owners. So what's
Not the, always good news.
No, but it's helpful. But what's the latest? What's going on in the accounting world?
Well, we're at the time of the year where we're meeting with a lot of our clients and doing a lot of year-end tax planning, and it seems like every year around January or February we meet with somebody new and we do their tax return and something comes up where they end up owing a bunch of money that they weren't expecting, and we sit down with them, go through why they owe the money, and then we say, you know, if we had met in October, November, December, we could have prevented this. We could have taken some steps to minimize this. And the client looks at me and says, well, why didn't we know this? Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing, what we do this time of year is meet with our business clients and a lot of our individual clients as well and go through what's your situation for the year. Are there any major changes? Where's your profit going to fall in for the year? And help minimize the tax effect without putting a huge strain on the cash flow.
Mm-hmm. It's always easier to plan. You can't turn the clock back. So once that tick goes across 12/31,
once it gets to January 1st, there's nothing you can do for the previous year.
Right.
Very little you can do for the previous year.
Right. What are some of the things that you look for in a tax planning session with your clients, Curt?
Well, the two things that we look at, we look at a balance sheet and an income statement or a profit and loss statement. And in doing that, we look at the profit and loss statement and we take into consideration where depreciation is going to fall in for the year, which a lot of times the client may not know, but we may have that record. And we'll find out, okay, what have you bought this year as far as equipment? What's the end of your year going to look like? Are you looking at giving the employees any bonuses? Are you looking at taking any bonuses for yourselves? Or we may say, maybe you should take a bonus for yourself. And here's how much. And we can kind of balance out between the business and the personal side sometimes.
It's the whole intent to basically be smart about tax obligations and minimize the tax obligation?
Minimize the tax hit. And the other thing that comes into play is sometimes we'll have somebody that comes in and says, well, I really don't have much profit this year. I paid off a lot of debt. Well, in a situation like that, the fact that you paid off debt means you had a lot of profit, but paying off debt is not a deduction.
And the reason for that is the principal portion of the debt comes out of the profit, but you can't deduct it from profit. It is profit.
The only thing you get to deduct is the interest payment,
right.
not the principal repayment. So
right.
if you're paying off a lot of principal, you're paying that out of profits of the business.
Which is taxable profit.
Which is taxable profit and puts a crimp on your cash flow, which
right.
means now you don't have the money to go out and buy a piece of equipment or take some tax planning steps at the end of the year. And
right.
so it may mean we go back to the bank and say, can we restructure something?
That's one of the areas that I know I work with a lot of people on is that question of I made a profit or I didn't make a profit, and yet they don't look at what the cash flow situation is. How do you help people kind of clarify that? How do you get their attention at least?
Well, the biggest way to get their attention is to go through and do a projection, say, here's how much you're going to owe come April 15th. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times their eyes get as big as saucers. I didn't make that much.
Right.
Where is it?
Yeah. Is the due date always the 15th?
Well, it can be April 15th, or for corporations, it can be March 15th,
right.
Or depending on the type of corporation, it can actually be, certain corporations can actually have fiscal year ends, and so it can be the 15th of basically any
month.
Like
a June year end or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
correct.
For corporations, it's March 15th?
For S corporations, it's March 15th, and for C corporations, it can be any year end.
Yep.
Right. Well, it's like with SCORE. We, because of the fact our tie with the SBA and so on, we end up with an October end date. October 1st is a start date. September is the end date.
Right.
Yeah. Kurt, in terms of company realizing, oh, my gosh, I have to pay $10,000 in taxes, and my gosh, I don't have that much cash in my till, what do they do?
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's nothing they can do if there's no cash in the till, because one thing they can do is we can go down their wish list of equipment and say, okay, what do you want to have? What would help you? What's on your wish list? And then either work with the bank, or sometimes there's some ways that they can finance through a manufacturer of equipment and say, okay, let's get a piece of equipment in here, because there are some ways that you can write a larger percentage of that depreciation off in the first year. And because it's financed, you're paying for it over a period of 3, 5, or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll help. I mean, obviously, that's going to affect cash flow in future years. So if you start doing that every year, you can start running into cash flow crunches. But if you do start doing that every year, then at some point, the cash flow should start bumping upwards if you've really got that sort of profit.
Okay.
Right. Kurt, one of the comments, I'm sure Randy hears it, a lot of SCORE mentors hear it, and I hear it a lot in my business too, is, you know what, I made $27,000 profit in my company that last year in 2010, and I've only got $3,000 in my checking account.
Mm-hmm.
What am I paying all that taxes for?
We hear that on a regular basis, too.
Can you walk through that a little bit?
Well, what can happen is, on the one hand, for example, the example I gave before where you paid off a lot of debt, if you paid off a lot of bank debt, for instance, if you paid off $24,000 of bank debt, that may be the difference between that $27,000
right.
of profit and $3,000 in the checkbook.
Right.
That $24,000 of bank debt is, in principle, that principal is not deductible.
Correct.
So that
it's
may
taxable.
Be where the cash actually went. So you want to actually go through, we can actually go through with people and do a mini cash flow statement with them to show where it went.
Could be in accounts receivable.
It could be. It could
on the
be
balance
in receivable.
Sheet someplace.
It could be tied up in receivables that you're not collecting your money. And if that's the case, a lot of times your payables are starting to increase as well, because you're not able to keep up with your bills. If you've got customers that aren't paying you very quickly, obviously that
I think
makes
a good lesson
also.
There is, if a business owner has those types of questions, you'd be a perfect company, a person to go to help the business owner understand how their decisions every day impact them only having $3,000 left in their checking account at the end of the year. They need to understand how their decisions create these situations.
Exactly. And for example, another situation that can come up, Tony, you and I have been working with a fella in this situation where they go to a lot of the home, they're in the building industry, they go to a lot of home shows, and they've got to put out $10,000 in October, November, mm-hmm. December to go to these home shows. Well, those are prepaid expenses that they can't deduct until the following year because they're on accrual basis. So,
what is the difference between accrual and the other one is cash accounting?
There's cash-based accounting, there's accrual-based accounting. And the cash-based accounting, as the name would imply, is the cash you take in from your sales, from your customers, is your income. The cash that goes out to your vendors, suppliers, is your expenses. And you don't necessarily, for the tax return purposes, report your receivables or payables.
You just recognize the revenue when you receive it.
You recognize the revenue and receive it, and you recognize the expense when you pay it.
Yeah.
So in those situations, you can prepay some expenses.
Right.
Assuming
right.
you've got the money in the checkbook.
Right. Can anybody be on a cash basis?
No. They're specifically, companies that carry inventory need to do accrual basis.
And is there a sales limit or an inventory limit?
The sales limit is, or the sales cutoff, if you do $10 million in sales or more, you have to be on accrual basis as well, or if you carry an inventory. So retailers, a lot
of
manufacturers.
Even if you have like $1,000 of inventory, you have to be on accrual?
That might fall under de minimis rule.
Okay.
Because it comes in and goes out very quickly.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. But accrual, inventory, if you're carrying inventory, you're probably going to be on accrual method.
Exactly.
And then it's different considerations for cash flow, isn't it?
It's huge considerations for cash flow because on accrual basis, then you've got to take into account your receivables, your payables, the inventory, and with manufacturers of a certain size, you've actually got to capture part of your overhead as work in process and factor that in as well. Mm-hmm.
From a working capital point of view for a business owner, I always tell them, cash flow generates profit. Profit does not generate cash flow. And that can be a little misleading, but I've seen a lot of folks go to a lending institution, and the lender will say, well, when you're showing a profit, we'll make a loan to you. So the business owner will go to Kurt, and they'll come up with a profit, and they'll go to the lending institution, and they'll look for the loan, and the lender will say, well, you don't have enough cash flow.
Well, and that happens, and I was talking to a fellow yesterday, and what ends up happening, and he's in a situation where he just recently moved. He had a fire in his business. He was underinsured, so he had to pay a lot of bills to cover the fire costs and the moving costs. And so he's in a situation right now where his cash flow is effectively whatever comes in the mail or the checks he can send out.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a little break right now. We're at about that point in the program. We'll come back on the other side of the break, give out the phone numbers again, continue our conversation with Kurt Haling from Albertson Haling CPAs. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. Good morning and welcome back to BizTalk. We're still open for business. We'll be open for probably another 25 minutes. We close the doors at 10 o'clock on our program. We're talking this morning with Kurt Haling, a partner at Albertson Haling CPAs. Kurt, tell us a little bit about your firm and some contact information if someone wants to get a hold of you.
Well, we've got offices in the Valley and in Green Bay. Our Valley office phone number is 920-886-2241. Green Bay is 920-405-8549. We've got both offices fully staffed with accountants as well as administrative and bringing on some new people for tax season.
And what does your firm specialize in? There are lots of accounting firms, big ones, little ones, medium sized. How does your firm fit in? What is that?
Actually, we kind of fit right in the middle of that. We're not, from a pricing standpoint, there are some big firms with some fancy buildings north of town on 41. We're much less expensive than they are. At the same time, we're probably going to be more expensive than your H&R Blocks or your corner tax preparer.
Mm-hmm. But you're getting, I think, getting better value.
And that's really what we strive for, and that's really why we're doing a lot of this year-end planning with people, because we take a proactive approach working with our business clients and with our individual clients.
One last question, Kurt. Do you have a website?
Yes, it's Albertson-Haling-CPAs.com, and that's Albertson-Haling-CPAs.com.
CPAs.com?
Correct.
Okay. Albertson-Haling-CPAs.com.
Yep.
And that's, one of the things you just mentioned is the differences that you have. Because, again, when working with clients, they'll say, well, I have a guy who does my taxes, and we're talking to start up a business. I said, we usually suggest you need a person who is involved with business accounting, not necessarily personal accounting. The difference sometimes a little hard to explain to people.
Well, I guess the way I explain it to people is – they can teach you in a 4 to 8 hour class how to fill in the forms, but they don't really teach you the planning steps behind what goes into the business and how to come out with a better result.
The whys.
Right.
Why did this happen?
Right.
Why?
Now, the other area that I always get a lot of questions about is what kind of structure should I have? Should I be just a sole proprietorship doing business as? Should I be an S-Corp? Should I be an LLC? A lot of people don't understand all the ins and outs of that. And most of the time what I'll get is, well, should I talk to my attorney? One of the recommendations I always make is to talk to the accountant. because you guys have a good handle on why someone would want to be whatever they want to be.
Correct. And with a good attorney will actually refer the person back to the accountant first then come back to drafting the documentation later on. But there's a couple of different entities that you can look at. There's sole proprietorship, which is a one-person operation. Mm-hmm. There's a partnership, obviously.
Sole proprietorship basically is me doing business.
Correct. A doing business as.
Yeah, it's my assets on the line. All my assets are on the line. Everything's...
All your assets, your house, everything's on the line.
Yep.
And at the same time, everything runs through your individual return as well. Yep. There's no separate tax return for it.
But I should have a separate checking account for my business.
Because otherwise the IRS is going to assume that everything coming in is income and everything going out is a personal expense, not a business expense.
And then I got big tax problems.
Then you've got a huge problem. There's also partnerships, which as the name implies would be two or more. And then you get into corporations, which you've got the election to make of an S corporation or a C corporation. And an S, each one files its own tax return, but the C corporation pays its own taxes. The S corporation, the tax impact flows through to the individual owners again. Now, one I left out of there is the LLC, and I left that out for a very specific reason, because even though you see a lot of LLCs out there, LLCs are strictly limited liability companies for liability purposes. It's a separate entity from the standpoint of liability purposes, but the IRS has a fancy term called disregarded entity, which is a fancy word that means they don't care.
They don't recognize
LLCs as a tax entity at all. So in that situation, if you're doing business by yourself and you're an LLC, you're still going to file a Schedule C just like a sole proprietor would. And if there's two or more, you're going to file as a partnership unless you make the election to be taxed as an S corp or C corp.
Okay. Yeah. Usually when I talk to people about that sort of thing, the LLC election or a decision to become an LLC usually has a lot to do with what the actual assets the person has to lose, as opposed to trying to set it up for a taxable consequence.
Correct, because what you want to do, and getting back to what you said, Tony, about the separate checkbook, it's relatively simple to establish the LLC. It's $130 on the Department of Financial Institutions website, and you want to use an attorney to set up a basic operating agreement. But then you want the LLC to set up its own checking account where the business income and expenses flow through, mm-hmm. and get the assets of the business into the LLC name as well. What that does then is keeps your personal assets outside the business. And you might say, well, whatever I do, I'm on the hook for anyway. But you could be in a situation, you could use an extreme example of you're in a situation where you've got the business, you've got an employee working for you. That employee stops off on Friday afternoon with your company truck and stops off at the bar and ends up hitting somebody. Who are they going to sue? Well, in that situation, they sue the LLC, they don't sue you personally.
Right. That's a big factor.
Yeah.
And folks who own rental properties, someone might own 10 rental properties. Many times I'll see the business owner owns them in his and her name personally. Well, if an injury happens on one of those properties, there could be a claim against not only that property, but the personal assets of the individual.
Correct, and that's why a lot of our rental owners are forming LLCs as well.
And
sometimes multiple LLCs.
I was just going to say, Kurt, one for each property, or cluster them three and three and three, or whatever you want to do, but put some legal fences around them.
Right.
Yeah, and I've even seen situations or had situations brought up where people are combining not only an LLC, but let's just say a C corp or an S corp besides to try and work out this thing. Sometimes is that a viable situation recommended, or is that just adding extra things into your legal position that you don't necessarily need?
It depends on the entity, because. For instance, I can think of a situation where we had a company that was a C corporation that had multiple locations, and so what we decided to do was actually separate those into separate LLCs, because of the fact that there were separate liability issues in each area.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically what it was a doggy daycare type business.
Uh-huh.
Well, you think about that and you're dealing with dogs and, you know, everybody thinks their dog's safe, but everybody else's dog could be, you know, a rabid beast. Well, it made sense in that situation to separate that for liability purposes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to give
still flow through one tax return, though.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing about the LLC. It all still rolls through.
I'd like to give out the phone numbers again if someone would like to call in with a question. In Appleton, the number is 281-1150, 281-1150. And if you're outside Appleton, the TDS Metricom toll-free line is 1-866-887-1150.
Okay. Just as a question, Kurt, again, I deal a lot. I'm a generalist, more or less, with SCORE. So when I'm meeting people, I'm meeting them for the first time up. They have a lot of questions. We do about an hour and a half conversation. When I'm talking to them about, you know, getting to know an accountant and so on, basically, what would they do with your organization, let's say, for getting to know you? How do I have them sit down and, you know, get to know what you're all about first?
Well, we'll meet with anyone free the first time and get a feel for their business, and they can get a feel for us and for how we work and make sure that there's a good fit there. And when you're talking with these folks, for instance, if you're talking with them about entity choice, you kind of go through some of the basics, but then the standard accountant's answer is, when somebody says, should I be an LLC, mm-hmm. an S-Corp, a C-Corp, is that it depends.
Right.
And we don't know the right answer to that until we can appeal through and find out more about their business.
Okay.
If they're in a startup situation, many times it'll make sense to be an LLC that's taxed as a sole proprietor or partnership. But in some cases, it makes sense to jump right over that step to the S Corp or C Corp.
Okay. We have a caller on the line this morning, Kurt. Good morning, Nancy. You have a question for Kurt?
Good morning. Yes, I just wondered, we have one duplex left and wondered if that is worth having it under LLC.
Possibly. And when you say you've got one left, it sounds like you've had several throughout the years and have sold them off.
Mm-hmm.
It very well may make sense because of the liability protection end of things. I mean,
how long do you think you'll keep it, Nancy?
Oh, I haven't any idea. My son lives on one side, so, but.
That helps because your son's less likely to sue you, I'm guessing, and he can keep an eye on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, there may not be the urgency, but still may not be the worst idea in the world because it's relatively simple to set up.
And how is it costly to set an LLC up?
It's about $130 on the Department of Financial Institutions website. And that's WDFI.gov. And then you may want to set up a very simple operating agreement that lays out who the authorized check signers are, who the members of the LLC are, and goes there.
Well, thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
You bet. I'm not sure if it's – check the WDFI if it's WDFI.gov or WDFI.org.
Yeah. It's in Madison.
And it's in Madison.
If you Google WDFI, you're going to get a link to it.
Right.
And go there and you can set it up. You're right, Kurt. It's $130. I've done it a number of times. Yeah. It's pretty simple to walk through this process and get it done. But that was a good question by Nancy. One of the considerations in whether or not she should form that LLC is how long does she plan on holding that property. The other thing I'd like to mention is while the tenant themselves may not sue the landlord, if there's a personal injury from the tenant or a guest who's visiting the tenant, the health insurance company might, through subrogation, try to recover the costs of repairing a broken hip by suing the landlord.
Exactly. And again, you look at it and you go, well, isn't that why I have insurance on the building?
Right.
You want,
but
it's just another level of protection in case the insurance company
finds an exclusion.
Doesn't come through for some reason.
And for $130,
right,
it's not much of
right.
a cost.
Right.
Do you have a, Kurt, in terms of companies who are dealing with day-to-day economic issues, and there's been a lot of those lately in the last few years, what are some general strategies that a company might consider using? I mean, they've got to come and talk to a CPA to get an idea of the tax impact on things. But what are some strategies some companies might use to deal with economic difficulties?
Well, you might.
That's a wide open question.
It really is. I mean, if you think back, you know, we went through a couple years stretch where there were a lot of layoffs and a lot of companies, you know, lost some major customers, and they got really set back in the businesses. They may be in a situation where they're paying off some debt right now, and maybe that debt needs to get restructured, lower the payment. Other things that come up, and I was talking to a fellow yesterday about this, is the fact that he's in a real quandary. You know, he'll be working 12, 14, 16 hours a day, but he doesn't want to bring another employee on because of the fact that, well, what if we fall into another 2009 again?
Right.
And so we kind of kicked around some ideas on that, and we said, well, you know, what if you went through like a labor-ready type place or a temp service type place, so that if the person doesn't work out, you send them back, you tell them to send somebody else. If you're slow, you tell them, don't send them today, we don't have enough work for them.
Right.
And that's a good way to kind of transition someone in without making that full commitment to putting them on 8 hours a day with all the payroll taxes and the work comp and everything else associated with it.
Okay.
That's a good thought, Kurt. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back in for the final segment at the other side of the break. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Vox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. And welcome back to Biz Talk. We'll be closing the doors in about 6 or 7 minutes. We're talking this morning with Kurt Haling from Alberts and Haling CPAs. Been having a really good discussion talking about tax planning and business entities and so on. Kurt, you ended the last segment of the program with a reference to hiring employees and maybe not, you know, you don't want to hire employees and then not have to use them. And so there's an option. There might be a vendor out there, a consultant, a subcontractor that we could use. What are the considerations that a business owner would look at to determine do they qualify as a consultant or a subcontractor? And if someone wants to start a business to be a subcontractor, what do they have to do to be a subcontractor, not an employee?
Well, there's a couple of tests that are used, and there's actually the feds have a different test from the Department of Labor and Unemployment Division, which has a different set of tests compared to work comp. So, again, it goes back to it depends. But there's a couple of common themes. One is how much control do you have over the person as far as what do they do, when do they do it, how do they do it, whose equipment or tools do they use to do it. Number two, how do they get paid? Do they get paid by the job? Do they get paid by the hour? The more control you have, the more they look, smell, and feel like an employee.
Okay.
If you're paying them by the hour, it may feel more like an employee as opposed to if you're paying them by the job, and when the job's complete, you give them a check, that's going to feel a little bit more like an independent contractor.
Yep.
And the differences are huge because if they're an employee, then you're on the hook for the work comp, the unemployment, the payroll taxes, and everything that goes along with it. Whereas if they are an independent contractor, they're responsible for their own payroll taxes or Social Security, unemployment, work comp, and everything that goes along with it.
And there's no unemployment. There's no layoff benefit.
There's no layoff at that point.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Once that job's done, if there's no other work for them, we'll call you when we need you again.
Yeah. One area I've had contact in that situation, though, people will say, well, you know, who do they go after? I understand the IRS has been a little tight on this situation. Most of the time, what I understand is it's the employer who is getting hit IRS.
They're going after the employer, and what the risk that you run is not only are you on the hook for the employer's portion of the Social Security, you're on the hook for the employee's portion of the Social Security as well.
Right.
So you're sticking your neck out there if you've got something that's borderline and you've been calling them a subcontractor and they're borderline as to whether they're really a subcontractor or an employee.
Okay.
Another couple examples are if the person's got a couple of other customers that they're working with at least, if they've got business cards, if they've got a website, if they look, smell, feel like they're actually holding themselves out for business, then they're truly in business for themselves as a consultant or as an independent contractor. If you're the only person that they're working for, they don't have anything else that holds them out as a business, they're going to look, smell, and feel that much more like an employee.
Okay.
Kurt, as is our tradition on BizTalk, we ask our guests to leave a pearl of wisdom, a little biz tip for the listening audience. What is your wisdom this morning?
Well, I guess I would put it with the five P's, the poor planning prevent, or proper planning prevents poor performance.
Yes.
And it may be a situation where it costs you a couple hundred bucks before the end of the year to find out where your situation is going to be, but it may save you thousands.
Okay.
Yep. So
very good.
Sit down with an experienced professional who can find their way through that labyrinth of all those regulations you were referring to earlier.
Did you have just a second as to how to contact you to get that again?
Yeah, our Fox Valley number is 920-886-2241. Green Bay is 920-405-8549. And website is alberts-hailing-cpas.com.
Okay.
Thanks, Kurt. Thanks for being our guest this morning and bringing all this information to the listening audience. We really appreciate it. Randy, we'll see you next week again.
Okay, look forward to it.
And want to remind the audience about the SCORE chapter.
Yeah, be sure to get a hold of SCORE if you have questions or you want to get started in business. You can reach us at scorefoxcities.com. And we'll be more than happy to work with you. We are a volunteer group, so it may take a couple days to get back to you, but we're getting back as quickly as we can.
Yep, and we do service and help a lot of business owners throughout the Fox Valley area all the way down to Fond du Lac. So we've been around for like 20 years.
27 years in the Valley, 47 years nationally.
So we've got some depth to us, a lot of bench depth. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. We're ready to shut the doors. We'll see you again next week at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. You've been listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHDY Radio.